could stand just once again. I realize we're up and down today, but if we could stand once again for the reading of the word in Luke chapter 8. We can often be, on Father's Day, we can often be very hard on the fathers, but I want to say today that I pastor some of the greatest fathers on earth. Amen. I want to thank you for being wonderful role models to me as a father and for inspiring me. I pastor some of the greatest dads that I know. And I know as we stand here today, dads, we think, you know what, I could be better. Yep, I could probably do better. I know I could do better. We're all thinking, yeah, I could be better. But I want to say today, dads, I'm thankful for what we are doing, for what we are doing. And keep going, for we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. Luke chapter 8 and verse 40 says this, "And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man," everyone say a dad. "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him and saying, 'Can you come to my house?'" Let me tell you, it doesn't matter how important you are, doesn't matter what title you may have, that doesn't change the fact that you are a dad first. You can be of the highest rank, but your most important thing is that you are a dad first. And so this important man came and besought Jesus and said, "Come to my house." For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying, but as he went, the people thronged him. And so I want to speak today on this title, A Daddy and His Daughter. A Daddy and His Daughter. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day in your house. We thank you for every father, Lord God. We, Lord, pray your blessing upon them. But Lord, as we turn to your word, Lord, now speak to us. Let your word go into our hearts. Let our ears be ready to hear and our hearts to receive. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. A daddy and his daughter. One of the things that really intrigues me when it comes to preaching is to look beyond the most obvious things in the scripture. Because very often when we read this account, we read about the daughter who was healed and raised from the dead. We have missed the other characters in the story who, as it were, seem to stand by. And one person we often overlook is, in preaching about Jairus' daughter, we overlook her father, Jairus. You see, Jesus was interrupted. Everybody say interrupted. Some of Jesus' greatest and most powerful moments in his ministry came when he was interrupted. We read about the woman with the issue of blood. She came and was healed because she interrupted Jesus. And as parents and as dads, we know the inconvenience of being interrupted by our children. But let me remind you today that some of our greatest opportunities as fathers, as mothers, as parents, some of our greatest opportunities to minister and to teach our children will come through these interruptions. When your child comes into your room, you're doing something else, but they come into your room and they interrupt you. It's a time to minister, a time to speak, a time to teach. Or when you're driving and they want to start having a conversation while you're listening to the news. Those interruptions. And so Jesus is interrupted and he proceeds to go to this father's house named Jairus. In verse 49 it says, "While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue saying unto him, 'Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master.'" So things go from bad to worse, and when Jesus heard it, he answered saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she may be made whole." When Jesus came to the house, he said, "Don't let anybody come in." And so he went in and everyone was weeping and crying. And Jesus said, "Weep not, because she's not dead, but she's asleep." In verse 53, it says, "And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called her. as he held her hand, he said, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, the Bible says, and she rose straightway, and she said, "I want something to eat." It says, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no one what was done. And so we look at this man named Jairus, this dad, who was in a very difficult situation, who had lost his daughter. And we look at this father named Jairus, and it was because of his love for his daughter. It was because of his love for his child. And it was because of his faith in Jesus. Everybody say, faith in Jesus. He loved his daughter, but he also had faith in Jesus. And it was because of that that he was able to see this great miracle performed in his own home. Because of his love for his children and his great faith in Jesus, Jairus had a miracle in his own home. You see, I heard a number of tributes today from the children, and they did a wonderful job. A number of them mentioned that their dad is their hero. And my dad is my hero. But let me tell you, a father is a hero when they realize they can't do everything, but God can do everything. They are the true heroes. A true hero is not a man or a dad who thinks that he can do everything, and a man who thinks he knows everything, and a man who thinks he's got enough strength to go through everything. The true heroes are those who realize there are some things in their life that they can't fix, and they include Jesus in on those things. They are the true heroes. And Jairus is a hero we often overlook, because Jairus was not too stubborn to worship Jesus. He was not too stubborn to go and get Jesus' attention. He was humble enough to realize that things were out of his hands and there was nothing he could do. Jairus was not too proud to pray for his children. See, it didn't even matter what Jairus' friends said. He said, "I got to go to Jesus, and I've got to have Jesus come to my home." You see, Jairus was a hero because of those reasons. He was a dad who loved his daughter. He was a dad who was concerned for his little girl. Yes, he was important. He was a ruler of the synagogue. Yes, he did the custodial duties. He arranged the services. He would choose the scriptures that would be read. And he was well known, and he was respected in the community. He had possibly heard Jesus speak in the synagogue in Capernaum. But more than important than all of his priestly duties, more important than all of his roles and responsibilities, more than all of those things, the most important thing was that he was a dad. Everyone say, he was a dad. And so what do you think this daughter saw in her dad? The first thing that she saw is she saw a dad who was not ashamed to seek Jesus. I want us to be challenged today, fathers, by Jairus. Because Jairus' daughter, we don't even know her name, but she saw a dad who was not ashamed to seek Jesus. You see, our biggest problem, man, and I'm just like you, is that we think we can fix everything. But Jairus knew that he couldn't fix everything. Jairus was not ashamed to seek Jesus. Verse 41, it says, Jairus had come to Jesus because his daughter was sick. He's facing a crisis that he doesn't know what to do. He has no answers. He has no strength. And it is a hard thing as a father to see our children suffer in sickness. And so Jairus stepped up without reservation, and he fell at Jesus' feet. I want you to notice that Jairus went himself, and all the men say himself. He went to Jesus himself. One thing that troubles me in my heart often is you hear wonderful testimonies, and we praise God for testimonies. But so many people will testify about a praying grandmother or a praying mother or a praying auntie. But I pray the language would change and that we would have testimonies of a praying father, a praying grandfather. Because sometimes, men, we've got to go to Jesus ourselves. You see, Jairus didn't send his wife. Oh, you take the kids to church. You take the kids and take them to Sunday school. He didn't send his wife, and he didn't send anybody else. He didn't send a servant. Jairus went to Jesus himself. And my prayer today, dads, is that we would seek Jesus first, that we would seek Jesus for ourselves, that we would come boldly and without reservation to the throne of God on behalf of our families, on behalf of our wives, on behalf of our children, that we, as the priests of our home, fathers, would take our priestly responsibilities seriously. And let me say this today, and it's not meant to be a political statement, but our nation is in a mess because many fathers are out seeking golf balls instead of seeking Jesus. Many fathers are sending their kids to church or sending them with somebody else, but fathers, let our children see us seeking Jesus for ourselves. And I can't help but think what a difference it would make if we as fathers would seek Jesus for ourselves. And that's what Jairus' daughter saw. She saw a dad who was not afraid to seek Jesus for himself. The second thing that she saw is she saw a dad who was not ashamed to bring Jesus to the home. Everyone say, to the home. You see, it's one thing to have Jesus in the church. It's a whole nother thing when we bring Jesus to our home. And Jairus' daughter saw a dad who was not afraid to bring Jesus into the home. In verse 41, it says, Jairus begged Jesus to come to the house. And so the whole crowd went to the house. Now, I can't imagine what his wife would have said as when he rang up, if they had phones, they probably didn't, send a carrier pigeon or something. But honey, I got a huge crowd coming over. The multitude are coming, and Jesus is coming as well. But the lesson here for us today, brothers, fathers, is that we would be dads who would bring Jesus to the house. Do you know why some men can use bad language and foul language and get all ungodly in front of their children? It's because they left Jesus at church. So many things. We think we can get away with it when we just leave Jesus at the church, but God wants us to make him first in our home. You see, you know why men can act ungodly is because they've got in their mind that Jesus is just something that happens on a Sunday. But Jesus needs to be the unseen guest in every household. And fathers, today I encourage you, don't leave Jesus at church. Bid him to come to your home. Get him to your house. Make him the Lord of your house. Let your children see you worship him unashamedly. Don't let Jesus stay at church. Psalm 127 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh in vain. Men, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, Jairus' daughter saw a dad who was not going to just leave Jesus at church, but he wanted to bring him to the house. The next thing we read about Jairus is that he was not ashamed to worship Jesus. And now I know men, sometimes we can get awkward about singing and we might not be the greatest singers and about worship and lifting of our hands and things like that. But there in Matthew chapter 9, verse 18, when it talks about Jairus, it says, there came a certain ruler who worshiped Jesus. And so she had a dad who was not afraid to worship Jesus. And dads, I want to encourage you today. Don't be afraid to let your children see you worship Jesus. Don't be afraid to let your children hear you calling on God. When things go bad and things are difficult and you've got trouble in the home, don't be afraid to let your children hear you worshiping God, to hear you praying and calling on God. Don't be afraid to let your children see where the provision comes from. Yeah, they see you come home from work and they know you worked hard for that paycheck. You worked hard to be able to provide for them, but turn their eyes and say, listen, children, I know you're thankful and I know that I go to work, but God provides all of our needs. God is the one that provides for us. He's the one that blesses us, and we deflect any glory. We so know all glory goes to God. Don't be afraid to let your children see you giving to the kingdom of God and giving to missions and all of those things, because you're teaching them the greatest thing that they could learn in life is that God is the one who provides all of our needs. And so don't be afraid to worship God. If your kids ask you, are we going to church today? Then you've already got a problem. Contrary to popular opinion, absence does not make the heart grow fonder. Absence causes the heart to wander. Our children need to be in church. Psalm chapter 61, verses 1 to 3 says, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth I will cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, dads, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For God, you have been a shelter for me and a strong tower from mine enemies. David says, when my heart is overwhelmed. And dads, there are going to be times when you feel overwhelmed, overburdened, overrun, and all of those things. Don't be afraid to let your children see your vulnerability, and don't be afraid to let them see you worshiping God. So she saw a dad who was not afraid to worship God. And she also, as my last point, she saw a father who was not ashamed to put the welfare of his children into the hands of Jesus. You see, when Jairus got news of his daughter's death, he didn't dismiss the Lord, but he said, I'm giving you my daughter into your care. And I know that many of us fathers have stood at this altar and have given our children, dedicated our children to the Lord. But that's not just a one-off thing. There are many situations that we face as fathers when we don't know what to do. We say, God, I put them into your hands. And much like Abraham, we must be willing to allow our children to do what God's plan is for their life. I know we have dreams and plans for our children, but say, no, God, above all of those things, God, I put my children into your hands. Like Abraham put Isaac on the altar. We need to be willing to put our children on the altar of God's plan, not our plan. So Jairus, it says, and when Jesus heard it, in verse 50, he answered saying, fear not, believe only, for she shall be made whole. And everyone was weeping and bewailing her, but he said, weep not, she's not dead, she's only asleep. And everybody laughed at him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand, Jesus did. And he said, maid, arise. You see, fathers, what do your children see in you? Because this character, Jairus, we often overlook to get to the miracle of this young girl being raised from the dead. But when we think about the man that went to Jesus, he was the head of the home. He was one who loved God. He was one who knew that Jesus was the answer. He was somebody that didn't just leave Jesus in the church, but he wanted to bring Jesus to the home. He was a man who was not afraid to let other people see him worshiping God. And so, dads, the Bible says that you are the head of the home. But let me ask you, who is the head of you? For Christ is our head. And unless we are submitted to him, and I said this a few weeks ago, unless we are submitted to God, we're going to lose our way. We're going to make mistakes. we're going to take our family in the wrong direction. We must be submitted to God. And so as much as you may like to stand and say, I'm the head of this home, let me tell you, I ask you a question. Who is the head of you? Because a headless man is a monster. I find strength in my submission to God. I want to do His will. I want to walk in His ways. I want to let Jesus have authority in my house. And so I want you to notice that when Jesus came into Jairus' house, look what Jesus did. Jesus goes into Jairus' house, Brother Bill, and He takes authority. He kicks everybody out of the house. It's not even Jesus' house. He walks in, He says, all of you get out, and takes authority. And Jairus, he lets Jesus take authority. Why? Because he understands his place as a dad. He took authority in another person's house. Let me tell you, are you letting Jesus be the authority in your house? Is He able to bring in what He wants? And is He able to kick out what shouldn't be there? I hope today, maybe, fathers, we need to go back and say, what is hindering the ministry of God in my house? There may be some things that I need to remove. Maybe there's some things I need to bring in. Dads, what do your children see in you? Because this story of a daddy and a daughter, there is so much for us to learn. There is so much to inspire us. And dads, as we sit here today, we must think to ourselves, what do my children see in me? If the musicians could come, I want to finish by telling you the tale of two families. First of all, there was a man named Ahab, and he had a wife named Jezebel. Everyone say Jezebel. Ahab and Jezebel were reckless in their lifestyle. They were godless in their lifestyle. And 1 Kings chapter 10 says that Ahab and Jezebel were so wicked. They had 70 children and grandchildren, all of them combined. And when the Syrians invaded, Ahab was backslidden. He was the king of Israel, but he was backslidden. And they lost all of their children and they lost all of their grandchildren. That was Ahab and Jezebel. Because of their reckless, rebellious lifestyle against God, they had 70 children and they lost them all. But there was another man in the Bible, and I don't think it's there by coincidence, because I believe that we can see the contrast. While Ahab and Jezebel had 70 grandchildren and children, there was another man who had 70 grandchildren and children. And his name was Obed-Edom. You see, when they wanted somewhere to put the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God, Obed-Edom said, I'll have the Ark in my house. You see, that ark represented the presence and the power of God. And they said, where are we going to put it? Obed-Edom said, I'll make room. I got a place in my house. He had 70 children and grandchildren, and they put the Ark of the Covenant, as it were, in Obed-Edom's lounge room. He had 70 children and grandchildren grew up in the presence of God around the ark. He had God in his home. Something happened to those 70 children. Not like Ahab and Jezebel, who lost their 70 children because of their rebellion. But something happened to Obed-Edom's family. We often preach about David and bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. But we overlook one important point. Is that while everybody's following the Ark going back to Jerusalem, in that train of people, in that crowd of people following the Ark, was Obed-Edom and his entire family. His 70 kids and grandchildren were all there. Why? Because Obed-Edom had an attitude that says, I want God's presence in my home. And wherever God's presence goes, we're going to go. We're going to follow after the presence of God. We want to be in the presence of God. The presence of God is our priority. I don't want to leave him at church. I don't want to leave my relationship with God for only Sundays. I want God in my house. And so Obed-Edom had the presence of God in his home. His children served in the temple. Have you ever thought, fathers, about the footsteps behind you? You see, every generation lives on the hand-me-downs from the predecessors. Our lives are impacted by our fathers. And I believe, I don't believe in generational curses, but I do believe in generational blessings. Because if you're here today, I can tell you that there are so many testimonies here of people who have the blessing of God, like Obed-Edom's children, because of their parents, their parents' prayer, their parents' guidance. Even Abraham, he said, he left the Ur of the Chaldees, and God said, I'm going to bless every generation. And here I am today. I am the product of a generational blessing. A man named Eric Whitehead, I found out the name of this preacher. I've told you many times that he would preach on the trains in Melbourne. And one day Eric in Melbourne went and preached at the front of a train carriage. My grandfather just happened to be sitting there reading his Bible. He went up to him and says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And it was there that the journey began. My dad, myself, my children. You see, there are footsteps following behind us. I am the product of a generational blessing. My wife is a product of a generational blessing. When God got a hold of my father-in-law, Brother Ray, and when God got a hold of my mother-in-law, Sister Donna, we are products, you see. I ought to be something for God because I'm a product of a generational blessing. And fathers, it starts with us today. We've looked at Jairus, a dad. We've looked at the impact on his daughter. I want to be like Jairus. I want to be like Obed-Edom. I want my children to see me humbly serving God. Let's stand in this place today. We're going to sing this song, and then we have a gift for all the fathers today. But let's sing this song, Lord, I need you, Lord, I need you. And every dad, this is your chance to say, God, I can't do it on my own. I need you. Every day, I need you. On the good days, on the bad days, I need you. I confess, I find my rest, I find everything I need in you, Jesus. Let's worship the Lord today.